September 11th terrorist attacks gave rise to any number of nightmare scenarios, including attacks on Congress and the White House. Yesterday, two Senate committees took up an issue that before September 11th would have seemed arcane. Should the Speaker of the House really assume the presidency if both the President and Vice President are out of commission? The question of succession already has given rise to two bills in the House, and Republican Senator Trent Lott has directed his staff to research possible new legislation. NPR's Renee Montaigne spoke with one of the legal scholars who testified before the senators.
Akhil Reed Amar is a law professor at Yale University who specializes in presidential succession. The current rule, which names the Speaker of the House as second in line to the presidency, was put in place in 1947. Professor Amar questions its constitutionality.
The Constitution says that if both the president and the vice president are unavailable, Congress should pick an officer who is supposed to then act as president, and the framers meant by that a cabinet officer, not legislative leaders. And in fact, constitutional separation of powers makes it very difficult for a congressional leader to hold an executive position.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is that person would be an elected official. Isn't it more appropriate for the president of the United States to be elected rather than an appointed official as a cabinet member would be?
Well, that's not what our framers thought when they envisioned cabinet succession, nor is it what we the people thought when we actually focused on this in your and my lifetime in the 25th Amendment after President Kennedy's assassination. We said basically that presidents pick their own successors with a confirmation process. So you vote for Richard Nixon. If you don't get him, you get Spiro Agnew. But if Agnew is not available, you get someone that Nixon picks, namely Gerald Ford. And if you don't get Ford, you get someone that Ford picks, namely Nelson Rockefeller. So the president basically picks the person who will continue the policies of that administration.
Is the wording within the Constitution about succession vague? That is, will another constitutional amendment possibly be required?
The only question really is, are congressional leaders even officers at all? A lot of us think that they aren't, but no one's ever denied that cabinet officials are indeed officers. So if we moved back to that, there'd be no constitutional problem whatsoever.
What has stopped Congress from addressing this in the past or in the recent past even?
They say that 90% of life is just showing up and 90% of law is just getting onto the legislative agenda. That's the hardest part. And until something like 9/11, just Congress wasn't focused on it. Now it is. And at this week's hearing, almost everyone who spoke seemed to think this really is a problem, and it's now on their agenda in a way that it wasn't, let's say, even a year ago.
Do you see any other weaknesses in the plan for presidential succession?
A comprehensive statute is going to need to focus on lots of different problems. But right now, we really have been more lucky than smart in our law, and we need to start thinking about the unthinkable.
Akhil Reed Amar, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yale law professor Akhil Reed Amar is an expert on presidential succession. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News. ¶¶